Yes, hello, Gristlers. Another week here on the Gristle, chewing over the fat of the week that was. I am Starvin' Marvin, and I'm here with Putin's Bride. Welcome back, Putin's Bride. We're hopefully getting a few other people on the way in very, very soon. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen here in these days? It's an unpredictable world. Yes, that's right. Okay. We're going to be right with you in a few minutes here on the Gristle 2SER 107.1. Yes, Gristlers, it's been a tough week. Hope no one's sniffling and sneezing out there. We're sort of okay here. We've had our hand washing done. Mm-hmm. We had a hand washing ritual. Putin's Bride and I. And,
fourth time today.
No more should be said about that. But there's been 171 cases of coronavirus here in Oz. We're doing better than Italy at 12,462. And, of course, Denmark shot up to 600 really, really quickly. So maybe it's time to take that booze cruise to Noumea. But, oh, wait a minute. No, those cruise ships is where everything started, isn't it? We can't do that either. But in the meantime, ScoMo is giving us 17.6 billion smackaroonies. Even the unemployed are getting something. But Putin's Bride.
It is the end of days. The Liberals are giving something to the unemployed. Oh, my God.
But Putin's Bride, it's only $750. I mean, Kevin 07 gave us more than that, didn't he? He gave us 900.
900. Oh, geez. You're right, 900. Twice. 900. Twice if you're a student.
Really?
I'm pretty sure I didn't get it because I didn't do my tax returns. Oops.
Oh. Hopefully Josh isn't listening to the...
I did them later. Right? I did them later. Did it was just too late to get there.
Okay.
I was in trouble, but that's, you know, I paid my dues.
Yeah. But look, what do you think about this surplus? Do you think it's gone forever, isn't it? We're never going to see a surplus again in our lifetimes, are we?
Hopefully what we'll never see again in our lifetimes is this crap about debt and deficit disaster. This ongoing 10 years of lies about how much of a crisis we had in the 2008 surplus, or 2009 non-surplus is what I mean.
Well, but nothing looks like a crisis now, does it? I mean,
right, it's all relative. And I mean, that's the thing with this virus, right? The growth, exponential growth is, you're talking about the number of people that have got it in Italy over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
200 people died there yesterday.
Oh, my God.
And that brings them up to 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, it goes up very fast. When you're looking at a handful of cases, and then a couple of days later it's doubled, and then a couple of days later it's doubled again, you get from a handful to a lot very, very fast. And the only way to stay ahead of this thing is to predict it, not to react to it. So that's why, you know, we've just heard today that we're planning to cancel all events over 500 people on Monday.
And
right?
That includes Hillsong events, I've heard.
Well, maybe not. I think it's time to just after Hillsong, isn't it?
Is
right. I mean, heaven forbid, so to speak.
That's right. Heaven forbid. Look, 500. Look, the F1. People would be upset about that. All the advertisers would be upset, wouldn't they? This is what they're saying about the Olympics. Yeah. That's the next big question, isn't it?
Tokyo 2021, I say.
Well, look, but why not? But NBC apparently have gazillions of dollars, or is it ABC? One of them. Something
BC. What's wrong with doing it in 2021? Like, no one really cares. You just have one special year where it's 5 years and then 3 years for the next one. Right? The Olympics don't have to be every 4 years.
They've had their day. Get rid of them. We don't need them anymore. Why do we need them? Everyone's doping up to win something. It's like the school carnival. Everybody has to get a medal, and if they don't, they whinge about it, and somebody else has taken something.
Leader table. I wouldn't want to be on the top of this table.
No.
With Iran and China. And
actually, Iran's a bit of a sleeper, isn't it? How much is Iran? Iran is...
They're getting up there. I've got
10,075. Well, I don't know. What have you got?
You've got to scroll down the list to find these things. Here we go. 9,000 cases.
Oh, I've got 10,000 here. I'm ahead of you.
Well, I'm using the WHO's numbers, which are always about 12 hours old.
Johns Hopkins, I'm using.
Yeah, they get it. They get ahead. They scrape things off the off the national pages of the countries, and the WHO wait until you've reported each day, and then they report yesterday's figures.
Yeah,
so I'm going with yesterday's figures.
Are you? I see. Well, I'm glad the WHO's finally admitted we've got a pandemic. I mean, it's spreading across the world like wildfire.
Honestly. And I mean,
it was obvious it was a pandemic a month ago.
Yeah, I wrote that actually about a month ago.
You wrote it.
I wrote
it. Good on you.
And at that time it was pretty clearly a pandemic. The reason they didn't say it was a pandemic is because they didn't want countries to think it was too late to try and stop it. They wanted countries to keep trying basically.
Are they really double thinking all this stuff? I mean,
yeah,
how stupid. Do they think every country has leaders as stupid as
Trump?
Well, maybe. Yes. But
who were you going to say?
I'm reserving my comments there.
Well, chicken.
But we have to send out a bit of a get well soon to Peter Dutton, unfortunately, who has just recently contracted coronavirus.
Irony of ironies.
I don't know what's going on in Queensland because poor old Tom Hanks is probably in the bed next to him, and he's diabetic, so.
Got to be worse than stuck on a desert on a remote Pacific island, cast away with no. How many years was he supposed to be on that thing, that island?
That's right, and with only a soccer ball for a friend. What was his name? I forgot that.
I didn't see the movie. I just saw the
saw the end of the movie.
Yeah,
I never. I missed the first half or something. I don't know. I just
spoilers for Castaway. Oh no, we can't remember.
I just remember that he ran out of clothes at one stage.
Oh, no.
I think it was.
I'm definitely
younger.
Not going to see it then.
That's right. Maybe.
But yeah, Peter Dutton better stuck on an island than stuck in a hospital in quarantine with Peter Dutton, I reckon.
Yeah. But on the other hand, we do have a few islands that we could use.
Maybe we could send Dutton to.
Yeah.
Where is it? Nauru?
Nauru?
Christmas Island?
Christmas Island might be nice.
That's the one.
The seafood's good there, apparently. The crabs just walk across and run into
careful.
The pond.
Careful, there was a new virus just got discovered from eating uncooked oysters.
Yes. Now, look, I've been looking up things to do with the virus and cooking. You need to cook. Get out that pan and start cooking.
Mm.
You know, eating all this raw stuff is no good. So maybe I'll ease off on the sushi or something. I don't know. Look, 500 people for events. Is that enough? Is it too much? Who came up with this, Putin's bro?
I expect it was the chief health officers. We have the thing called the Australian
500? Why 500?
Health Protection Committee, I think it's called. I think that's probably partially a bit of a random number, you know, nice round number that's not too big, not too small.
Not too big, not too small. I have heard from one of the former employees of the drinking establishment in the Oakley area that they regularly on the Friday and Saturday nights had 1,000, up to 2,000 people one night apparently in the pub. That's
right,
a lot, isn't it?
I went to the pub before I got here and I walked
Did
straight
you?
Back out again because it was way too crowded for me.
Was it? Well, it was five or six people, were there?
Well, it was about 80.
80?
Well, I don't know. How big is out back there? Maybe 50.
Oh, right. Yeah, actually, there's a lot of people drinking, isn't there?
But it was...
It's the alcohol, because the alcohol is very good for hand washing.
Oh, look, it's got to be
maybe
at least 60%.
Internally.
Like, beer is not going to sterilize
people,
the scene.
But I could see people out there getting towards that 60% level. But look, Putin's Brian, I'm Starvin Marvin. You're here on The Gristle, 2CR 107.3. We might take a short break, cross over to Amy Winehouse, because she knows a thing or two. And you're going to hear it right now. Possibly. Let me see. I'll put this up and then you can hear it. Here we go.
Meet you downstairs in the bar.
Yeah, that's where we're all going to be upstairs in bed with hopefully someone interesting. If things go ahead, perhaps a little bit, getting a bit further on in the virus scale there. I was just wondering, Putin's bride, you know, we're up to level 3 restrictions or something, or advisories on travel.
Level 3 travel,
which means like don't.
Yeah, well, reconsider, I think, is what I've got. I've got a level 3 travel advisory on my front door. It means reconsider any trips anywhere.
Oh, on your front door.
Well,
they won't let you out.
I won't. I, you know, my view of
you got a bracelet
right
as
now.
Well.
No. My view, there's a lot of people are sort of confused about what's a sensible precaution and what's panic and what's, you know, what's taking it too far. You know, there's a few things
last week. Last week we worried about toilet paper.
Right. And is that still happening?
I can't even remember. I don't even know what brands were missing. Well, they were all missing, I suppose. You but know, you well, know, it seems like a million years ago, doesn't it?
This thing travels very fast. I mean, you know, news breaks and people are saying, oh, my God, how come the government hasn't shut all these things down yet? And it's only been like half an hour since we heard that it was a problem. And
yeah.
You know, people are expecting a reaction pretty instantly at the moment. I think we can.
And we kept getting told for 2 months that, oh, yeah, look, everything's, you know, under control. We're, you know, we've got very good measures for our airports.
We do. And, you know, the WHO has an 8-step plan, basically.
Do
there's
they?
Eight strategies so, like, about.
Is that for alcoholism or for something else?
It's for what to do during a pandemic.
Yeah,
we've been a little bit slow on measure 6, which is ratcheting up the laboratory testing facility.
That's have because, we? There's... Oh, I thought they were available everywhere.
Yeah, you... but
no.
Well, not everywhere. Everywhere.
Not everywhere.
You know, they're limiting it to people that, you know, they think have a reason to be tested. Like if you've travelled or if you've met someone who has it. You know, this kind of thing. They're not going to be giving out tests willy nilly to anyone who, you know, just rocks up and says, "I've got a cough."
Yeah.
You know, because there's a global shortage of the ingredients that the test is based on.
And what is it? Is it like
it's like a chemical process? You know, at high school you have they stick a thing down your throat and
right,
they take
a
bit of saliva off the back of your throat and then they do a chemical mixture thing to it, and they, you know, if it changes color in the right way, then they go, "Oh my God, there's the virus."
Oh, okay.
Basically like that. But in order to do that, you've got to have the right chemical, and that's, you know, everyone in the world wants this bloody chemical,
and it's dependent upon a mining operation in Tanzania or something, isn't
something
it?
Random, and also
speaking
it's dependent
which,
on international trade, right? So
yes.
That's one of the reasons why shutting borders is not the best part of the solution, right? Closing international travel at this point, you know, that game's over. The travel restrictions have done what they can do, and you know where the game is at is now. Where the game's at now is individual behavior, really, right? It's keeping that social distance stuff. It's washing your hands all the time, you know, with soap, or proper alcohol based solution,
yeah.
You know, and thoroughly washing, like scrub down washing, right? 30-second washes. You know, it's about not going to big events where there's lots of people in a crowded space. It's about, you know, not sharing meals with lots of people. You know, at least not eating off the same plate. I mean,
all the things I've done wrong in the last week. Geez, now I'm worried. But
yeah,
but
and, you know,
the good thing is,
commonly touched
if
surfaces,
you do get it, it's a mildish type of flu, isn't it?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. 80% of people get what they call a mild flu, but mild is relative. You're still going to be bedridden for a couple of weeks potentially. 20% of people they call moderate, and that's, you know, full blown pneumonia, probably needing hospitalization. Is moderate, and severe is when you're like needing a rest, like oxygen, when you need to be oxygenated. And half people that get severe cases are going to die. So this is not just a flu, bro.
Compared to a normal flu, I heard today that it was 10 times more likely, 10 times more fatal. What's the word?
Yeah.
10 times. But earlier we were being told that the fatalities are only 2%, which is not much. Compared to SARS or something. So
well,
the numbers are really starting to confuse me.
The numbers change a lot, and that's because, you know, how you measure things is really hard. You know, Korea is measuring everyone. They're getting so many tests done, and, you know, so they find all the people that have it. And so, you know, the death rate in Korea is about 0.5%, right?
So their figures are probably the best ones.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, whereas in other cases, they've got just as many deaths but hardly any cases, because then the only people they're finding are the dead people. So you... yeah, so it's not as low grade as the flu, right? This is at least 10 times worse than the flu in terms of the number of people that die. Yeah. If you're older, or you know, if you care about people who are older, like your parents, you know,
we care about people here on the Gristle, so we are caring about them.
Yeah, so. I mean, if once you're over 70, you've got about a 15-16% chance of dying if you get this thing. So that's pretty serious, right?
Yeah, but it's not like having a melanoma, so you know. Things could be worse. I was thinking too that there's been a bit of a focus on business. The markets have taken a dive. Talking to a few analysts yesterday, and the main reason the markets took a dive is because of our friend Donald Trump. He said we're not just stopping people from the EU. We're stopping trade from the EU. He said, and then he had to tweet out going, "Oops, no, that wasn't quite right."
Not what I meant. It wasn't a perfect press conference. Did he admit to making a mistake? I didn't see that.
And there he is standing up at Mar-a-Lago with the Brazilian guy behind him on his left shoulder, who's gone down with the coronavirus.
Yeah, well,
COVID-19.
Fingers crossed.
No.
I'm not saying what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, you can't wish these things on people.
I didn't say that's what I was wishing.
No, good. Okay.
Fingers crossed he recovers. Really?
Yes, but
well, stays healthy.
How do you survive if you've got a small business with you know, if you see the whole thing where you've got to have money for everything? I mean, I was just at the doctor's the other day. It cost me a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Blood tests and so forth.
That's going to be very hard.
It's not cheap.
Keeping liquidity through this when, you know, there's no customers coming in because everyone's staying home, and, you know, you've got to keep paying staff and, you know, you've got to keep paying rent.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard. So I think that's a lot of what the stimulus package was aimed at, though, was getting people through a sort of 2 or 3 month period of crisis.
But have you sold your Flight Centre shares? Because
what industry do you think I'm in that I've got shares?
100 Flight Centre stores have closed.
Right.
And so that's always a way. Oh, look, it's warm lettuce has just waltzed into the room. Glad you appreciate you coming on to the Gristle, finally, late lettuce.
Yeah, that's very
very kind of you to drop in.
So we're just
talking a bit about some of the economic COVID-19 benefits of the coronavirus, which is losing a lot of flight centres, apparently.
Oh,
100 flight centres are closing. Fortunately, Dr. Putin over here has been giving a lot of advice, which isn't advice. We don't give advice here in the Gristle.
Well, no, this is just
we just point out a few little, you know, salient features. But that's sort of where we're up to, warm lettuce.
We haven't got around to discussing your plans for a COVID party, which I'm dead set against.
Duh, corona party. No, because if you accept that the coronavirus is going to completely destroy our health system, which I think if you look at Italy, it might, then you might want to get it early. So, you know, just like a measles party for your kids, get everyone together and have a few coronas.
Don't do this.
Yeah.
Like that, if you get it, you want to get it as late as possible when people are as experienced as possible. You know, be after the curve, not before the curve.
All right. Well, while we're just thinking about that one here on 2CR 107.3 here on the Gristle, we might just pay you a short track. What we're looking for, of course, is someone who's a hero, maybe an American hero. Let's see.
Or not, it's just- look at me, falling for you.
Believe it or not, it's happening. It's happening here at 2SCR 107.3 here on The Gristle. I'm Starvin' Marvin, of course. That's who I am. I'm here with Putin's bride. And just walked in the old shoelace. And, of course, Warm Lettuce, a regular guest. Thank you, Warm Lettuce. Warm Lettuce, you said that we should be paying attention to something. What was it again?
Oh, I said that we're so blessed to have an expert in many different fields in energy policy. And, of course, climate change is one of the big issues at the moment that we talk about a lot here on The Gristle. And I think we like to do a bit of debunking. Of myths.
Show us the bunk and we'll de it.
Yes,
we'll
exactly. Debunk, that's we'll, right.
That so, bunkum. It's...
So Shoelace here happens to be an expert, not talking about his past backgrounds, but just a vague expert in nuclear energy.
Right.
And I
fission
think
or fusion.
Time, well,
see, that's about the extent of my knowledge.
Mm. Yeah, well, predominantly fission.
Oh, okay.
A little bit about fusion.
So you like the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, very good. So on this program, we talk about climate change. We talk about how we'd like to clean up our energy grid. Can you get to 100% renewable energy or is it going to require something a little bit more? What do we think?
Well, I mean, I'd always say a lot of people don't know that the other alternative to in terms of decarbonized energy is nuclear because it doesn't emit CO2. It's nuclear energy. It doesn't burn anything. And the best example of that is, say, France with 75% nuclear power and a very, very low carbon intensity of 50 grams per kilowatt hour.
Ooh. It's a lot of numbers here for The Gristle. Yeah.
And certainly a bit of radiation might get rid of the viruses that we've currently got running.
Oh, that's possible.
So sure. It could also help there. One of the things that I've been worried about, Shoelace, is the grid. Because we were talking a bit earlier before you guys rocked up that the grid is built to give electricity out, but some of the areas now we're finding are so good at getting solar panels on their roof that they're becoming energy negative.
Yeah,
and the grid isn't used to receiving power back into it. And this is going to make things go a bit wobbly. Is that something you've heard?
Well, that's actually a really good point. Actually, if you look at, say, you know, AEMO's ISP, and you have a look at what really powers New South Wales, it's actually 5 coal-fired power plants ringing Newcastle, Sydney and Wollongong. And that supplies 85% of all New South Wales electricity right this moment.
Good old deal.
So therefore, you know, I think it's a tall order to actually grab heaps and heaps of renewables, heaps and heaps of transmission lines. We really do need concentrated source of energy and we want to think about it in terms of a decarbonized, dispatchable source. That's clean nuclear, new nuclear, very safe, very effective.
But can't we go gas?
Well, gas is a fossil fuel.
Yeah,
it's going to heat
the
planet
up. It's not as bad, is it? You can't see it.
It's about 10% less bad.
Yeah, marginally less bad.
The gas-fired power station is about 40% better than the current Liddell catastrophe. Isn't it? Am I right?
Oh, I don't know. I kind of think that's a bit like saying Hungry Jack's is slightly better than McDonald's. I don't even
I'll
know.
Be the boring person here and just come up some numbers. I mean, with a coal-fired power plant, it's hugely, hugely carbon emitting. So we're talking about like 900 grams of carbon dioxide per kilowatt hour. With gas, you're looking at half that, about 500.
Half. There you go.
Right? But what's also people don't know about is like, you've got these things called fugitive emissions. And I looked at the numbers and it's like something like if you got 1.4% of your production being lost, that's the equivalent of another 100 grams.
That's the leaking from the plant. Yeah,
methane is highly, highly greenhouse gas potent.
Yeah, right.
Highly, highly.
Highly, highly.
Oh, well, you know, there's ups and there's upsides and downsides with everything, isn't there? If how quickly can we change all this, do you reckon?
Well, I say, in terms of, I'm assuming that if we were to have nuclear, if the, the ban on nuclear power were to be removed from Fed and state level, 10 years. I think that can be done in the done
carbon neutral in 10 years or close to it? Net carbon neutral, I should say, because there's always a little bit there.
I think, look, I mean, I think we can learn a lot from what people are doing overseas. So, for example, there was an energy expert from China who was responsible for all the planning for the future grid in China. And they're just doing heaps and heaps of hydro and heaps of renewables and heaps of nuclear. They want to build...
It's a mixed
huge
bag,
amounts of nuclear in order to supply that baseload decarbonized source.
Yeah, I think the
Fukushima
amount...
doesn't worry them at all.
They don't know. They took a lot of paid a lot of attention, reassessed all their safety cases. They actually stopped thinking about building new ones, but they did actually go back and they are looking at again doubling again their nuclear power. So, like last 5 years, they built like about 27 gigawatts of new capacity in nuclear, so doubling it to 54 gigawatts.
Which means that we can sell them uranium, right? And there's jobs in that. We like mining here on the Gristle. I've just declared that. So, yeah, maybe what we need to do is open a few more uranium mines.
Did you ever work at the... export the uranium and blow it up here?
Well, as long as we're not exporting it to ISIS, then there's no problem.
We don't care in Australia who we dig up and send stuff to, as long as the ships are taking it away, we are happy. You know, that's what I think.
Yeah, that's right.
So look, that sounds like a good idea. It's a new industry and certainly something better than the precious earth things, which seem to have gone nowhere. They were a bloody fizzer, weren't they?
Oh, give them time. Yeah. I'll go somewhere. We'll see. Anyway. There you go.
Look, last comments, Putin's bride. We've got a few seconds left in this show. It's just
what's
about
wrong with
the end
precious earth, the rare earths.
Well, I don't think those companies were doing very well in Western Australia, were they?
Anyway. I thought they were in Queensland.
Were they? Okay.
I don't know.
I didn't buy into them anyway.
Okay.
Anyway, look, thank you very much, panel, Shoelace, Putin's bride, and Warm Lettuce for talking to us here and talking to you there, Gristlers out there in Gristleland. We'll be back again next week.